Unless I need to order a beer today. That's exhausted my German for today. So I apologize that this session has to be in English. My name is Richard Irwin. My official title is a technology solutions professional. That doesn't really mean anything to anybody outside of Microsoft, but essentially I'm a mobile DevOps specialist, so I get to help our customers with adopting some of our tools and their process as well. I suppose I'll start off with a slide. You may have seen this one before. But essentially, what is DevOps? If you go on LinkedIn, you will see lots of job titles with DevOps in the title. People asking for people to join their DevOps team or become a DevOps engineer. And that's slightly misleading. It's not really a job title. It's not really a team. Did anybody make the keynote this morning? With my colleague Donovan Brown. So Donovan is, I guess, our DevOps champion at Microsoft. And no doubt he may have used this slide. I don't think he'll have an awesome dinosaur on it, but he may have actually said this. But I think he's got quite a good definition of DevOps. So it's the union of people, process, and products to enable continuous delivery of value to our end users. And those three things, you kind of need them all. So people, process, and tools. You can't get away with just having one. If the people, let's say the person who does the database deployments isn't on board with this stuff, then you're not going to get very far. If you don't have the right tools to do your automation and track your projects, again, you're not going to get very far. And you need people to invest in doing this in order to get the full value from it. So why do we need DevOps? We've all been doing agile development for some time, so why do we need this? But essentially, it kind of boils down to this. We want to increase the quality of the things that we're putting out there. We want to reduce our technical debt. We want to increase the quality of our product and speed up our development and release cycles. We want to eliminate those dependencies of our deployments on people. Or you may have this where you have a master sheet. This is how we do a deployment. So we do step one, step two, step three. And a lot of the time, the people who are doing those deployments don't really understand what those steps do. They follow it exactly as it says on the sheet. And then something slightly changes, maybe the name of a database table or the name of a script that we need to run. And of course, they follow it exactly as it says on the sheet, and then something goes wrong. So we want to eliminate those dependencies on people and manual processes. And that gives us the ability to spend our time on actually implementing the new features that our customers want. It allows us to innovate and deliver quality, maybe get ahead of the competition. But more importantly, it allows us to be agile. So we can respond to market demands, what our customers are asking for, and potentially the problems and the crashes that they're finding in our application. So you may have, I'm assuming if you're in a Xamarin session, you may have heard of Xamarin. So Xamarin were acquired by Microsoft this year, sort of in around the summer. And in addition to that, Microsoft also acquired a company called HockeyApp, who I think actually are based right here in Germany. And that was about 2 years ago. And that really is the genesis of Microsoft's unique DevOps solution. And this stuff is only going to get more tightly integrated and more valuable. But if you take nothing else away from this session, if you kind of memorize this slide and think, okay, that's what this session was about, then that's fine. This is essentially my session on a single slide. So if we take a look at some of these sections here, with VSTS, or TFS if you prefer, with HockeyApp and with Xamarin, we now have kind of all the pieces of this puzzle. So with Visual Studio Team Services, we want to plan and track our project. We want to manage our backlogs. We want to track our agile project. We also want to use the version control that suits us. So if anybody in the room has been using Team Foundation Server for a long time, obviously, you may have been using Team Foundation version control, and that's a centralized version control system. That's fine. But a lot of dev teams that you go to speak to will be very keen on Git or distributed version control systems. So that's fine. If you're using VSTS, if you're using Team Foundation Server, you can choose which one suits you. And we'll take a look at that later in the session. Interestingly, this is the only part of this whole puzzle which is actually dependent on Xamarin. So you may be, again, aware of the premise of what Xamarin can do for you. But essentially, if we're doing mobile development today, most of the time we'll either be getting our Java teams together, get our Objective-C team together, and we'll build an iOS and an Android application. And we'll have two teams kind of competing against each other to implement the features more quickly and so on. And we'll have two code bases, two teams. Or we'll use something like a hybrid approach. So we'll use effectively a wrapper around a web application. And of course, if we're doing that, our users aren't really getting the same experience they would from a native app. It doesn't look quite the same. It maybe doesn't perform quite the same. They need that network connectivity. So with Xamarin, what we want to do is write that once in C#. So again, for all .NET developers here, we're going to write that in C#. We're going to tweak it for the individual platforms, but most of our code will be shared, will be C#, but it will produce a native application on iOS and Android or our universal Windows applications. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. Obviously, pulling in lots of the Azure services, and again, there are probably quite a few sessions more focused on that today, but we'll touch on some of the app services available to you as well. We want to do continuous integration, maybe continuous delivery or even continuous deployment of our application, so we're going to use VSTS to do that. We're going to test our application with Xamarin Test Cloud, so obviously we're all doing our unit testing and our integration testing as part of our normal development cycle. But what we want to do is automate some of that UI testing, make sure that our application is performing as it should on the different platforms, on the different versions of the operating system, on the different handsets that our users are making use of. And then we also want to distribute this out. So we're working on the application. We want to distribute this to our users. We want to get in the hands of our beta users. We want to understand, what do people want? What are they using? What feedback have they got for us? And we can use that empirical data to drive the backlog of our application. And then finally, we want to continuously improve. So if the users are having crashes, if they're having problems, if they're giving us that feedback, we want to take all that information, we want to feed it into our project, and use that to drive what we focus on. So that's it in a nutshell. That is the DevOps solution. And as I said, that little green star is the only thing that's Xamarin. Everything else, you can be using native applications, you can be doing Cordova applications, it doesn't matter. That's the only part of it that is Xamarin. And then you can also take this and think, I don't use VSTS for my version control, I use GitHub. That's fine, we can do that as well. We can still use everything that's here, but using GitHub instead. Maybe use Jenkins for your build. Again, fine, we'll use Jenkins as well, but we'll plug in those other parts. So you don't have to adopt all of this in one go. You can kind of pick and choose the bits as you want. Hopefully, what I'll show you today is how easy it is to adopt this, how quickly it is to get this stuff up and running, and hopefully you will be inspired to go and start using it. As I mentioned, with Xamarin, and again, I'm kind of assuming that most people are sort of aware of the Xamarin proposition, we could spend easily this entire session talking about Xamarin and how it works. But essentially, we have two options with Xamarin. We have what we typically refer to as Xamarin Native, where we have shared application logic, but that UI piece that we're going to do is specific for the individual platforms. So we'll have a UI for iOS, we'll have a UI for Android, but all that business logic, all that consuming of Azure and so on, will all happen in shared projects. On top of that, you've got another option. And that is Xamarin Forms. So Xamarin Forms kind of takes that a little step further and allows us to build most of our UI in XAML. You may be used to using maybe WPF or something like that. But essentially, we can develop our front end in XAML, and we can share that across the different platforms. Now, this is not a hybrid application. It will still build down and compile to a native application. So if I create a button in Xamarin Forms, it will display like an iOS button. It will display like an Android button. It will display like a Windows button. So it doesn't have a one-size-fits-all. Obviously, if you want to take advantage of maybe some platform-specific features, I don't know, maybe the fingerprint reader on an iOS device, then of course we're going to have to implement that specifically for that platform. But again, we could have 100% code reuse, or maybe something like 80 or 90%. The Azure App Service, has anybody been to an Azure session today? Yeah, a few, excellent. Again, this is something that we could spend the rest of this session talking about. But if you want to check this stuff out, the Azure App Services provide a lot of cool features. The one that I want to just call out is the Mobile App Service. So things which are typically very difficult to do. So your users are demanding functionality that they now expect from their app. So things like, I need to be able to log in. I don't want to have to register with your app. I just want to use my Facebook account or my Twitter account. And how do we do that? I want to have offline data sync. So I do some stuff on the tube or the underground, if it is here. And when I get above ground, I want that to be syncing with my back end. I don't need to have I don't need to be online to use this stuff. I want to have things like push notifications. So I want my app to kind of prompt me if I'm not using something, or if something happens, I want to get that. But all the different platforms, I have to implement that separately for each individual platform. So you can use things like the Notification Hub in App Services. It will take care of curating all those messages and spraying it out to your users, dependent on what platform they're using. So some great stuff there. If you want to take advantage of that, again, no doubt there will be some sessions on this stuff today. But yeah, definitely check that stuff out and start consuming Azure. Another reason why I mention it, probably at the end of the session, I'll show you a little bit of kind of what's coming down the line with Visual Studio Mobile Center. And that's going to make consuming these kind of services even easier. Visual Studio Team Services, Team Foundation Server if you prefer. So Team Foundation Server, for those of you who aren't aware, is essentially the on-premise version. Visual Studio Team Services is the cloud-hosted version. And this is going to track all our project information, gives us our boards and our backlogs, gives us our version control, gives us our automated builds, and a lot more aside. And we'll touch on that. Hopefully I can show you quite a bit of this stuff today. One of the last things I just want to talk about is mobile quality. Before we can do some of the demos, I've got to show you some slides, and then we'll take a look at the product. Mobile quality, it's possibly more important than some of the other applications that you might be working on. And the reason is users are so impatient. So I'll give you an example. My wife, who is a typical iPhone user, was trying to download a video player. She wanted a video player that would allow her to watch something at sort of 1.5 times the speed. So she downloaded the first free video player from the store, and I think she gave it maybe 30 seconds of playing. It didn't quite do what she wanted. It was uninstalled, and she installed the next app on the store. And that's the kind of thing. So short user sessions, high expectations of how that application will perform. Now, probably the number one problem that you're going to have with mobile development is device fragmentation. Now, it's not so bad on the Apple platform, although it's still getting up there. There's a lot of versions of the operating system. There's more and more devices and form factors. It's pretty terrible on Android devices. So, I mean, I'm sitting here. I have a OnePlus 3 device. There have been some studies around the number of devices and versions of Android which are connecting to a typical application. And it's staggering how many devices are out there. So we're talking about different operating system versions, different form factors, different screen resolutions, different memory capabilities, different processors. And it can be difficult to test on those different devices. So your device might work fine on a sort of, a large form factor phone with a good processor, quite a modern device. But what about one of those kind of terrible little free Android devices that your, you know, maybe your mom has or something. Maybe you don't have one of those. So what we typically do is we test on the devices that we have lying around the office. And so we might have, again, our personal devices, which, as we're all kind of techies, tend to be quite good devices. But we might have some older ones kicking around as well. But we have to test on all of those. And how do we do it? How do we, with manual testing, how do we get that that device coverage, and how do we find the time to do that? And like any testing, that stuff will get squeezed out towards the end. And of course, what we'll find is we push our application into the store, and then we start getting the one-star reviews and the feedback and so on in there. And that's not where we want to find that. So with some of the testing, we have the option of doing manual testing. Unfortunately, it's slow. It's a great experience for what our users will be doing. They will be interacting with our app. But it's very slow. We can do unit testing, which, again, hopefully we're all doing. And that's fine as well. But again, it's not testing what our users are experiencing. So what we want to do is use automated UI testing. If anybody hasn't heard of or seen Xamarin Test Cloud, Xamarin Test Cloud is essentially thousands of devices in a data center. They are physical devices. They're running all versions of Android, iOS, different form factors. We'll take a look at it in a second. But essentially, what I can do is write an automated test, distribute it into the test cloud, and have my test run on all those devices, get that immediate feedback from what's going on. And then the final piece of the puzzle, I know there's, again, been some sessions in this today, is HockeyApp. Now, HockeyApp is essentially about three things. Number one, beta distribution, getting this out into the hands of my users, getting that feedback. They can install it without having to go through the store. And again, I can track all that information about who's installing it, what devices they're using, where they're using it, and so on. Crash reporting. So again, if something goes wrong, I want to know about it. I don't want to have to, again, wait until we get this into the store, or maybe the users aren't sending me feedback. If something goes wrong in my app, I want to know about it, and I want to know how many people are finding these issues. And then finally, user metrics. What are they using in the app? So again, we think, oh, we've got a great idea for this app. We'll do this or this. And when our users actually get hold of it, they're not using those features. They don't care about those features. They're more interested in something else, which we did maybe very quickly or slightly with not a lot of focus. So we want to be able to find that out. We want to know what our users are making use of and finding useful in the app. So again, we'll take all those metrics about what they're doing and use that to drive the backlog of our application. So what should we focus on? And of course, any kind of ad hoc feedback that they want to give as well. Okay, let's see what we can do. Let's go and take a look at some of this stuff. Now, let's start with VSTS. So I have a little project just started here. This is essentially just a new Scrum project, essentially, that I've created in VSTS. And the first thing I'm going to do is take a look at essentially my backlog and my work and what we need to do. So I'm just going to go to the work section. I'll go to backlogs. And I threw a few things in here as well. Hopefully, the wireless will hold up for me. OK, and this is one view. This is my board. And I've got a few cards on this. And I've kind of set up a little bit of a Kanban-style board here. I can flip to my backlog. I can plan sprints. I can do agile portfolio management, where I'm going to build up my backlog into features and so on. And of course, with any of this stuff, I can take it and say, well, OK, we will take our crash button, and we'll move that up the backlog a little bit, and I can just drag and drop. Now, of course, again, this is probably a whole different session in its own right. I'm just going to give you a little flavor. So I should have given you the caveat that you should strap yourselves in. This is going to be fast. We're going to cover a lot. But essentially, I've got my backlog. Personally, I kind of prefer the board view. So I can see, okay, here are the kind of things that we think we might want to work on. And then my product owner may come along and say, yep, that stuff's valuable. We should do that. Let's fix that bug. Let's implement that functionality. So we'll start dragging things into our approved thing. So let's just drag some. In fact, let's do a new one in there. Let's create a new a new item. So we'll create a new product backlog item. We'll call it demo DevOps. And of course, I've got my thing. Now, my card. Now, I can open up. Oh, so I'll get used to my Mac. So I can open up that card. I can give it maybe an effort value. And yeah, it's going to be quick. Let's just make it a 1. And I can put an acceptance criteria in here. I can put a description. There we go. And then we can save that thing off. Oh, and if I, maybe we'll just set the area path as that as well. So we'll plug it into my exam, and we'll do it demo as well. There we go. So I've now popped that in there. I'm going to be the product owner, so I'm going to approve that. I'm going to throw it in there. And in fact, you know what? We're kind of, whoa, keep doing a weird thing there. As we're doing this, we're actually doing it now, so we'll pop it into in the doing column here. Now, that's fine. We've got now some work to do. And of course, we need to obviously go off and do that. What I'm going to do is, first of all, flip into the code view here. Now, when you set up a project, you have an option of choosing a version control system. Now, up until TFS 2015, you had to choose Team Foundation version control, which is essentially a centralized version control system. And that was fine. It's personally still my favorite. For my sins, I come from a Visual Source Safe background. I feel kind of comfortable in there and so on. But again, let's say you go into a lot of customers, developers will be talking about Git. They'll be using GitHub. They'll be using Git at home. And so they really wanted that brought in. So in TFS 2015, you had the option to choose either TFVC, centralized, or Git, distributed. Now, with, I think, update 2, 2015, it'll be in 2017, and of course VSTS, you have the choice of mixing and matching. So I can have a Team Foundation server version control and then Git repos within that team project. So I don't have to choose, I can do it on a project-by-project basis. So I'm going to just pop in here. I'm going to manage my repositories. I'll do a new repo. I'll just call this one demo. And we'll go and create that. And then I'll pop into, again, my code here. I'll flip out of that one into my demo repo. Do we have any Git users in today? Any Git? Okay, that's about half. That's cool. Okay, so you're probably all masochists and use the command line, and that's absolutely fine. You know, I personally, I like my IDE. I say I come from Visual Source Safe, so I get a little bit scared when I have to go into the command line. And so they've made this super easy. Now, you can still do, this is just Git. You can still go and use all the kind of tools, all the command line that you do today with this. That's fine. It's exactly the same as connecting to GitHub or something else. But if you're kind of like me and you're a little bit of a reluctant Git user, that's absolutely fine as well. You can make this stuff very, very easy. Now, if anybody caught any of the Microsoft Connect conference, which was, I think, about two or three weeks ago, Xamarin did a lot of sort of announcements, and they did a lot of cool training as well. So on the third day of that, the Xamarin University guys came along and they did some free training. So you can go to university.xamarin.com/connect2016. And a lot of the stuff that I'm using today is in there. So full one-hour sessions, even two-hour sessions on doing things like Xamarin Forms, UI testing, including Azure into your app, Hockey app, and so on. So you can go ahead and grab that. You can also grab the training demos and the sample code, which is effectively here. So it's up on GitHub. You can go and use it. Now, I kind of see this session a little bit as a wrapper around some of the things that they're doing. So what I'm going to do is going to grab the GitHub repo. So I can just copy that. I can flip over to my VSTS. I can click import. I can stick in the URL for that in GitHub, import, and it's going to go off and do its magic from there. So I don't have to do anything really if I want to consume some GitHub projects. That's absolutely fine. I'll let that go off and do its thing. It'll take a few minutes. In fact, it'll take about 30 seconds. And now we have, effectively, all those files brought into VSTS. Now, I've made a couple little tweaks, so I'm just going to flip over to the one that I did before. And that's it. That's my code in here. So now I can flip across to my Xamarin Studio. Now, interestingly, you may notice I'm on a Mac today, and that's fine. I come from very much a Windows background, Visual Studio, and when I kind of joined Xamarin Microsoft, obviously I needed to be able to use a Mac, and I spent quite a few years going, I don't use Apple products, I don't have an iPhone, I don't have a Mac, and I said to one of my colleagues, you know, how do I get up to speed on the Mac? And he said, total immersion. So for the last sort of few months, I've only been using my Mac. I had to take my lovely Surface Book, put it to the side, and now I'm using my Mac. And I'm still not quite a convert, but I like it a lot better now. So this is Xamarin Studio. If anybody wants to use Visual Studio, it's exactly the same process. It looks very similar, and you may have seen the announcements recently for Visual Studio for Mac. So Xamarin Studio will ultimately go away. Okay, so this is my little project. This is a, I suppose, a little exam application. So it's written in Xamarin Forms. There's an Android and iOS version. I don't know why I've got that thing up there. Let's get rid of that. And you can see here, eventually when it deploys and loads into my emulator, and essentially it is there. And you'll see the cunning change that I've made to this application with a big bright red button that says crash me, just so I can show you some stuff in HockeyApp later. And that's fine. So it's got my application there. And what I've done, obviously I have the repo sitting in VSTS. So now what we'll do is we'll go and commit some. I've got some uncommitted changes here that we'll work with. But before we do that, let's go and set up our continuous integration build. So back into VSTS, I'm going to go to my build section. And you can see I've got one set up here, which I'll use in a second. But for now, we'll do a new build definition. Now, if you haven't played around with this stuff recently, again, you may be using something like Jenkins. And that's absolutely fine. Everything I'm showing you today, you can do in Jenkins if you want. But you'll see in a second how kind of super easy this stuff is. Now, again, if you haven't played around with this stuff, you might be looking at this and going, wait a minute, Android, Ant, Maven, Gradle, Jenkins, what are those doing in a Microsoft product? And that's fine. You can kind of bring whatever tools you're using today, and you can build whatever you want within this. So we'll see here, we've got Xcode right down at the bottom. We've got the Xamarin Android, Xamarin iOS. In my case, I'm going to go Xamarin Android. Hit next on that. And again, where does my code come from? So is it sitting in a repo within my team project? And in this case, it's sitting in, there you see there's a demo one I created. I'll take my exam U. Is it sitting in GitHub? I could have pulled it straight from that GitHub repo in there. Maybe I've got Git installed locally, or maybe some poor people are still using Subversion. That's fine. You can consume whatever you want. So I'm going to build the master branch of my ExamU repo. I want to make this a CI build, so there we go. Done. I click that button, and when I commit something, it's going to build, kick off this build. Now, you see, that's it, very, very easy. The one decision you've got to make, that's new. the one decision you're going to make is where you're going to build this. Now, at the minute, if you're building on an iOS project, you've got to build it on a Mac. So that's going to be in Mac in Cloud, perhaps, or typically what I'll do is I'll build it on this machine, or you might have a server or something. But it's got to be building on a Mac because it's building an iOS project. With that agent, you can still build Android projects and so on, but you can't build the UWP projects. If you are building Android, UWP, Visual Studio, whatever it might be, you can then just simply use the hosted build on there. You may have noticed if you're sort of eagle-eyed and you have used this before, I've got a hosted Linux preview. I didn't even know that was coming, so I'm not entirely sure what that does, but yeah, so that's it as well. So I've actually set up my default, that's my on-premise build agent that's running on this machine, or as I say, I can use the hosted build, which will build that in the cloud. So I'll just hit create on that, and it'll go off and build me a build definition. Now, you can see here, this is all kind of focused on building an Android application or a Xamarin Android application. I don't have any components in mind, so I'm going to just pull that out for visibility. And then, as you might see, there's pretty obvious things here. So it's going to install my NuGet packages or restore my NuGet packages. It's going to build my Android project. So you can see here, it's just looking for anything in my solution which has droid in the project name. So it's going to build that. I've got my test project. So we're going to build some UI tests in a minute, or they could be unit tests. Again, doesn't really matter. I'm just going to build up my test project. And we'll come back to that one in a second. Then I'm going to sign my APK file, and then I'm going to take all that goodness and push it back into my repo somewhere. And that's it. So I'm going to plug in those bits, and it's absolutely fine. Now, what I'll do, I'll ditch this one, and I'll go back to leave that. We'll go back to the one that I was working on the other day. Now I have, you can see here, it's pretty much the same. I have made a couple little tweaks just for, again, demo purposes. So it's going to restore that NuGet package, that's fine. Then I've added something in here to version assembly. So you can go to marketplace.visualstudio.com, and there are, I don't know about hundreds, but there are lots of little widgets and components that you can install. Some of those are little widgets for the dashboards. Some of those are build tasks. Some of those are extensions to web access. But have a look, marketplace.visualstudio.com. Things like deploying to the Play Store, deploying to the Apple Store, and in this case, versioning assembly. So this is a free thing. I just plugged it in. And all it's doing is looking for my Android manifest.xml. And then it's going to make a little substitution in there saying, when you build this, I want you to take the build number and essentially put that into the Android manifest. So when I build this and distribute it into Hockey App, I'm going to get the right numbers in there. I don't always have to go and update it in Visual Studio or Xamarin Studio. So then I'm going to build my my project. I'm going to disable. No, I can leave that one in. Build my test project that I've got. Then I've disabled my Xamarin Test Cloud. We'll come back to that in a second. I'm going to use a key store to just sign up my application. And again, I'm going to publish that. So if we go back to build definitions, there are none of them running. You can see there. If I just flip back to the right screen, and we'll go to version control, review solution, and commit. Oh, and one thing I didn't do, let me get back to that. That thing that I created earlier, if I go back to my my backlog, and you see there, number 19, that's the name, the number of the work item, the backlog item. So work item 19. So what I'm going to do is flip back, if I go to the right screen, I'm going to go and commit those, and then I'm going to say, I've instantly forgotten what it was. I think it was 19. If it wasn't, somebody tell me. So I'm going to do number 19. So what I'm going to do is put in my commit message the ID of the work item that I want to associate with. And when I eventually push this up, it's going to do that association, my commit with the work item. So I'm going to push the changes to the repo. So this is me committing. And then it's going to go off, push those changes into VSTS, associate with that work item, and then hopefully kick off that build. So we can flip back now. And we go to our builds. And we see we've now got one in progress. So there we go. So that's the build now kicking off. So one in the queue. And hopefully that won't take too long. But essentially, I committed something on my project. It pushed it into VSTS, kicked off that build, and hopefully everything's good. And all those unit tests that we've added in there, all just kind of running and giving us that nice little bit of feedback. Okay, so there we go. You can sit and watch the console if you like. So that's fine. I'm reasonably confident that's going to work. And so in the interest of time, I'm going to kick on. Let's go back to our Xamarin Studio. Now, there are a couple of things to look at here. And you don't need, I don't know how it's kind of small on that screen, but we'll not worry too much. I can probably command plus it. There we go. So we've got a couple of things in this. We've got our shared logic effectively, so that business logic and so on is sitting in our exam project. It's either a shared project. There's two options. There's portable class libraries and there's shared projects. I'm not sure which one this is. I think it's a shared project. But more importantly, we have an Android project and we have an iOS project. Now you can see I'm building the Android project here. We've also got a unit test project, absolutely fine. But then we've got the automated test project, and that's the kind of one we want now. So we have some code, we've got that application, let's get some tests written for it. And obviously this is after you've written your unit tests and so on. So there's a couple of ways you might want to work with this. And what you'll see, if you download this little sample, you can see that they've used, if anybody's doing any Selenium testing in the past, you might have used kind of the page object model. The idea that each page of your website or each page of or screen of your app is essentially a class. And that class will have properties on it, so each control or element of that that page will be represented as a property. And then we'll have methods, things like login. And login will mean enter this this email address, enter this password, click the login button, and then make sure that we've gone to the home screen. So we can do that. And of course, you're going to want to build that up and make sure your tests are kind of maintainable. So, but we have to build that stuff first. So let's start with, I've got something here called my test recorder tests. Now this is, you can almost think of this like a black box test. All I'm doing is saying, okay, I have an APK file or an IPA or APP file from on iOS. And I want to run that on the emulator. And then I just want to interact with it. And I want to grab all those IDs of all my elements and so on. So I've got a test fixture set up here. And this is just using NUnit if you've used it in the past. I've got a test called first test. And I'm going to put one line in there. I'm just going to say app.REPL. And REPL is the read, evaluate, print loop. Essentially, it's like a breakpoint on my app, my test. So I can put this anywhere in the code. So I could automate some things, put a REPL statement in there, and essentially it's like a breakpoint on that test. It will then allow me to interact with the app, just kind of understand what I need to do and so on. So let's go and just build that and use it. Already I'm thinking I'm running low on time, but we'll do it anyway. So I'll just run that test. So again, very similar in Visual Studio. Don't sort of get too much caught up in the fact that I'm using Xamarin Studio. And then hopefully what it's going to do, if I flip to my desktop, with luck, if everything goes well, it's going to deploy that that app to my emulator. And when it hits that app.REPL statement in my test, it's going to fire up a terminal window or a command prompt in on Windows and allow me to interact with that. Okay, that's a good start. So we have the app on the left-hand side, and we have the command window here as well. Let's do a command plus plus. So the first thing I'm going to do is type tree. And tree basically gives me information about everything that's on that screen at the minute. And so what you'll see in there is my crash button. I can see the start test button or start exam button, and I want to interact with that stuff. So this is effectively my test execution is stopped or paused, and now I can go and interact with this. So I'm going to say app dot, and maybe you can read that, maybe you can't, but I'll tell you what's there. So I do app dot, and essentially I get IntelliSense in my terminal window. So I can see things like pinch and zoom. I can do swipe right to left, swipe left to right, scroll down to a particular element. I can tap buttons, all the things that your users are going to be doing on that application. So I would like to start with a little app.flash, and we can do, I can't talk and type. There we go. Let's do exam, make sure I get that right. There we go. Good. So I'm doing app.flash, and if you watch the emulator, we now get information about that button. So I picked the right thing, it flashed up my button, it gives me some additional information about where it is on the screen, if it had an ID, if it's got label, text, and so on. And so from there, we can say things like app.tap, and again, we can Again, I still struggle with the different Mac keyboard, but there we go. So now it's going to tap those coordinates, launch my application, and again, now I'm into this page, I can say tree again, and it'll give me all the details about the result button and so on, and the text that's in there. And I can start to interact with this. And of course, if I do things like, actually, we'll do that in the next section. That's fine, I won't spend too much time in this, but essentially I can record my app, and of course I can say things like, ooh, look, Xamarin Forms is a good choice for mobile business applications or prototypes. Well, that's definitely true, and that's fine. So then once I've done all my interaction, I'll just type copy, and as you might expect, that copies all that history into the clipboard, and then I can just say exit, and when I hit exit, it will just continue on with my test run. All right. So let's speed this up a little bit. I also have, and of course I can go paste those in now, just say Command V, and now we have the flash and the tap in there. But of course you're thinking, oh, it looks like a lot of work. Can we make that a little bit easier? And we can, of course, so we can use something called the Xamarin Test Recorder. So Test Recorder essentially will do exactly the same, connect up to an app, and there's my exam 1.1. It's going to redeploy that. And this will allow me to interact with that app as I would normally. And that will do, and it will then generate the test for me. So once we have this, we'll hit record, we'll interact with the thing, and it will generate that same C# code for me that I got through the REPL tool. Just really quickly, I'm conscious of time. There we go. So we'll come back to that. When it's ready, we'll hit record, and now we'll just say, oh, start exam, and of course I've got app.tap done for me. I'll hit true, I'll hit next. Which one was that? Let's go false, and we go next. And I can do things like the back button and so on, app.back, and all that's doing is just generating the code for me, and then I can say export, well, I'll stop now. We can export that out. I can export, copy the output, or I can actually send this straight to Test Cloud if I want. So I'm going to copy the output, flip back to Xamarin Studio. I'll just paste that in as a new test, and there we go. So I'll take that, say I'll probably use something like a page object model, but that gets me started. It gets my first test, and then I'll start to figure out what I need to do. Okay, so let's go and quickly throw that into a test. Let's go here. And look, it passed. So we're looking good for that. So let's go and edit that that test. So we'll do edit that build definition. And then, of course, what we want to do is include our tests in there. So we're already building the tests, but you know, with a cloud build, we want to run this stuff. We want to run this as part of our CI build. We want to have a nightly build that tests all our tests on a 50 devices or something like that and gives us the feedback. So how do we include this? So I'm going to flip to Xamarin Test Cloud. And this is a view of, so you can go to testcloud.xamarin.com/devices. And this is a view of the 2,500 devices that are sitting in the test cloud. Now, these are physical devices, as I said before. I can go and have a look at all the Android ones. I can go and have a look at the iOS ones. I can grab something like, an iPhone 6 Plus. I can see all the information about that, screen resolution, when it was released, what display it's got, what operating systems. And interestingly, we can see that there are 111 of these in the test cloud. And of course, they're running different operating system versions. Because as people get this and they update their 6 Plus, maybe somebody doesn't upgrade, we need to be able to test on that. So what we'll do is flip to one of our previous test runs. And this is my little CI build. You can see there's one kind of running at the minute. This is my CI build, or scheduled a few to kick off. And what I can do is just choose one of these previous test runs to have a look at it. And there was only two tests in the little sample project. But what it allows me to see is how much testing I've done, if I'd had any failures on particular OS versions, which form factor. So again, maybe it's on small form factors. My buttons get covered over by my on-screen keyboard. So then I can say, okay, well, let's have a look at one of those tests. And in this case, I've only done like 7 devices. You can choose as many as you want. And what it allows me to do is walk through that test and see exactly what was happening, and these are just obviously different tests, as we went through the test. And I can dive into any of those. So let's grab a Galaxy S6 Edge Plus or something. And in there, again, I can flip through, see exactly what was happening on that test. I can see things like memory usage, CPU usage. I've got the device log if I want to get nice and low and understand what was happening on that device. I've got the end unit test log in there as well. And I can even just grab these screenshots and if I want for use in the App Store later on. So that's fine. How do we get our test that we just wrote in there? So I'm going to do a new test run. And then we'll just do a new Android app, choose a team. Let's do my Xamarin Microsoft team. And then we're going to choose our devices. Now, again, those devices we were just looking at, I can go and restrict these by availability, estimated wait time, operating system versions, manufacturers, you know, go and see who's got which devices have an octa-core processor in there. And again, I need to just choose a few of these things. So let me just grab a few randomly here. And then I'm going to choose those devices, give it a name for this test series that I'm running. I'm just going to stick with the master, change my thing. While we're here, we'll change this to German for fun, and we'll hit that next. And this is the key bit of information. So I have the choice of three languages for writing my tests. I can do it in C# using the UI test. I can do it in Ruby using Calabash and Cucumber, or I can do it in Java and JUnit and using Appium. So you have three choices. Personally, I prefer the UI test because, again, I come from a C# background. But if you have, let's say, Android developers might be happier in Appium, that's absolutely fine. They can write their tests in there. And again, this doesn't have to be a Xamarin app. It can be a native app, Cordova app, doesn't matter. The key bit of information here is this, which is my team API key, which I probably should be keeping secret, the APK file that I'm running, and then this is my device hash. This indicates those, I think, six devices that I chose, and that's the key bit of information that I need. So I'm going to flip back to my test. I'm going to look at my Xamarin Test Cloud task. I'm going to enable it on my test run, on my build. And then there's a couple of things to look at. The team API key. Now, sort of cunningly, what I've done is add a parameter. And all I've said is $ open brackets XDC team API key. I can flip to my variables. And you can see in here, XDC team API key. But I've made it hidden, so I don't have to share this with my team. I just hit my little secret button here. And that means I can reuse this variable in my builds and my different tasks. But nobody can see what that value is. So I stuck my key store passwords, made those secret as well. But then I've got a couple of device hashes. So I've got one device. If I'm just getting my build to work, I just want to run this in Test Cloud in one device, or maybe, you know, let's say four devices for my CI build. But then for my nightly build, I want to run this maybe on 50 devices. So again, just slightly different things that I can just plug in to that build. So in this case, if I look at this, I've got my team API key. I've got my email address in here. I've got XDC one device, so I'm going to just run it on one device. And again, run the testcloud.exe, and it will then, as part of this build, go and push it up to the test cloud. In the interest of time, I'm going to keep that disabled because it will obviously take a little bit of time to go and run that. And I'm going to save that up. So we're good. Right. Okay. So we've got our test, and that's fine. But now we want to get this out to our users. So for this, we're going to use Hockey App. And if I flip to my Hockey App, what we'll see is not the most beautiful looking screen maybe you'll ever seen, but what I've done is I've created a new app in Hockey App. And the key thing here is my app ID. So what I'm going to do is in my code, I'm going to take the app ID, I'm going to put it in there, I'm going to track any crashes, any feedback, any events that happen, and I'm going to send it back to Hockey App, but using that app ID. And that will correlate all that information and display it for me on this screen. So very, very simple to do. Let's flip back to Xamarin Studio. And we'll go back to our Android project. Let's do that. Go on our main activity. So in my main activity, I've got a little method called initialize hockey app. And all it's doing in there is saying initialize the crash manager, initialize the metrics manager, and the feedback manager. Those are three things that I need. And if we just look at this, I'm going to do a command D here, it will take me to this Hockey App ID. Now you can see in here, the Hockey App ID that I'm using for Android is just hard-coded. It's that value we just saw before in the portal. But also, for the iOS version, I've used this underscore, underscore, Hockey App, iOS App ID, underscore, underscore notation. And the reason that's in there is because I can use then variable substitution in my build. So maybe I want to change this later on. So in my build, I can substitute into this value. Before I build it, I will substitute in this value, and it will change the app ID on the fly if I need to. So I control the app ID in my build. We'll just do a couple of things in here. What we can see, if I go to my, I've got a little event in here that says the app started. And I'll just go into my review page here. Let's dive into this. And I'll just take out this little method here. Take that out. Hockey App Helper, track event, exam completed. So not only do I want to grab crashes when somebody crashes my hits my crash button, but I also want to know when somebody starts and finishes a test. So I'm just going to throw those couple of lines in there. I'll just build that up, and then I'll submit that in. And while I'm going to, before I do the submission, let's do, let's go to, back in here, and I'm going to go to my releases. So what I want to happen, I'm going to commit some code, I'm going to build my thing, I'm going to run it in test cloud, right, get all that feedback, sign my APK, and then I want to take that APK and I want to push it out to Hockey App, push it out to my users. So I've got one set up here, and what I'll do, if I add my release, we've got a Hockey App, let's start again, we've got three environments, private beta, public beta, store release. In the private beta, I want to push it out to Hockey App. In the public beta, I might use maybe the, in this case, the Play Store beta channel, push it out to wider users who can install it from the Play Store. Or, and then finally, I want a store release that pushes it out just to all users. So I can go into my public beta, I can add a task in here, I can go and find, let's say, the Play Store, I can add that in, go and give it the APK path, say that I want to throw it into the beta channel, and off we go. So it's as simple as that if I want to go and automate pushing this stuff out. In my case, I want to push it out to Hockey App. In fact, let me take that out just so this runs. So I'm going to push it to Hockey App. Again, I've just thrown that task in there. There's my app ID again. I should probably stick that in a variable. I can publish this. I can make it mandatory. I can notify my beta users. I can do things like release notes and so on if I need to here. But essentially, what I'm going to say is two things. Trigger, continuous deployment. So if I get a new build, then from my Android CI with XDC build, I want to push that straight out to Hockey App for me. Now, of course, you might not want to do that exactly. So what I'll do is I'll assign an approver here. I'll say pre-deployment approver, specific users. I'm going to go and stick myself in there. I can make this things like all users in a sequential order. So we go through that chain of command before we sign off on this. Anybody in this list or just me, any one user. So I'm going to do that. I'm going to hit OK on there. And then I'm going to flip back. If I just save that quickly, I'm going to flip back to Xamarin Studio. I'm going to commit that change to version control, registration commit. I'm going to commit those. Push the changes, commit. So with luck, what that's going to do, if we flip back to Visual Studio, it's going to say, okay, I'm going to run a build. Hopefully that's kicked off. So we've got one in progress, that's great. But when that completes, what I hope I'm going to get is it's going to go to my releases, and it's going to give me a notification, say, this is waiting on your approval to push this to our beta users. And that's what I'm going to do, and then it's going to push that out to Hockey App. In the interest of time, while we are waiting on that, we'll just go to our Hockey App again. And what we'll see in there are the versions that I'm pushing out from VSTS. So I'm using the build identifier to update my code version. I'm leaving the version as 1.1. We haven't released this yet, so we're just iterating through this. I can see crashes that have happened. I can see any downloads, how many users I've got. Obviously, it's just me. And how many active sessions we've had as well. I've also set up the bug tracker to be VSTS. So what that means, if we go to crashes, we can see that we've got a couple of buttons here. So on crash clicked, okay, that's my crash button. I know that's an issue. But we've also got it tracked in VSTS. So if I click on that, it's going to take me to that bug report, which is now part of my backlog. So as these things are coming in, my team's triaging them, deciding whether or not we want to work on them, and then we're pushing them into the backlog to work on. I've got all that information in there, and obviously the link back to Hockey App. So I've also got my any feedback that my users have given me, and also the events. So what we can see is that we have 105 users started the exam. So I put a little event in there that said, if you start an exam, obviously track that event. But then when you get to the review page, it's going to say exam completed. And what we can see directly from that is 105 exams have started, but only 36 of them have been completed. So we know there's an issue. People aren't getting through our exams. They're not finishing the exam. Why is that? And that might be a case of on a menu option. So we've got a little pop-out menu, and we've got events tracked on each of those. Nobody's selecting the thing that we think they all should be using. Why not? So we'll send them some push notifications, let them know that they should be using this cool feature that maybe they weren't aware of. So that's what we can be doing with the customer events. So let's quickly see if we've got a release definition. I'm just going to see if I've got one in there. Oh, my build is not killing. Might have to come back to it. That will come back and do it. Again, we're almost out of time. So I want to just show you, rather than sit here and wait on that, I want to show you one new thing that's coming. You may have heard some of the announcements on Connect, but Visual Studio Mobile Center. All this good stuff. So we've talked about distributing to our users, consuming Azure services, building in the cloud, version control, whatever it might be. You kind of may have noticed we've got VSTS, we've got Hockey App, we've got Xamarin Test Cloud. And you know, it's fine, it's very well integrated, you can see that. But wouldn't it be nice if we see that in one place? So the Mobile Center is going to take all that information and stick it into one location. I'll give you a little sneak peek of this. Now, this is very early days. I've literally only got access to this myself. But this is a live version of Mobile Center. It's on private preview at the minute, so you can sign up for this. And when it's ready, they're going through the process of assigning this out to users. But keep an eye on it. By sort of early next year, it'll eventually go into more public beta and eventually general availability. But what we can see in here, down the left-hand side, build, test, distribute, tables, identity, crashes, analytics. Some of those may have been, might be quite familiar. So we can see things like, obviously, build. Notice we can build iOS as well as Windows and Android in the cloud. And then we've got tests running in here. And you'll look at this stuff and you think, okay, that looks kind of familiar. But what will happen? Don't necessarily wait on this stuff. If you start using Xamarin Test Cloud today, you will transition into Mobile Center when it's ready. So again, all the information exactly as I was seeing it in Test Cloud. So again, that distribution process we're seeing with Hockey App, exactly the same in Mobile Center. Then we've got things like Easy Tables. If you haven't checked this out, very easy to consume Azure services, have storage in the cloud. Identity, taking advantage of all those cool things in there. And then, of course, things like crashes and analytics. Again, you will recognize from the Hockey App, but again, I'm getting all that information coming back into here. And then things like analytics again. Where are my users? What are they using? How long are they spending on my application? So this is private preview. It's very early doors, but we're going to bring all this stuff together and make it even easier to use and to consume those Azure services. Let's see if we got one. Remember my build failed. Let me check my build didn't fail. Passing, did it complete? Yeah, it looks like we're good. Let's go to my releases. Ah, there we go. Perfect. I was just mistimed it. So you can see there, I've got a little icon, send pre-deployment approval. So I'm going to click on that. I've got an email about this as well. But understandably, I shut down my email today. I can type some comments. There we go. And I'll go and approve that. I can actually defer this deployment to a little bit later on. I'm going to approve it. And now what it's going to do, don't know how quickly it'll do this. It's going to take that, run through the task, which is deploy to Hockey app, and then it's going to push that out, and I'm going to see it pop up in my list of things. So I'll see 1.1 and code number, whatever it was, 65 or something like that. Cool. Amazingly, I've managed to get through that stuff just about on time. I appreciate that's like super fast run through, but hopefully what you take away from that is it's a very joined up process. It's only going to get better. Most of this stuff, obviously Visual Studio, Xamarin Studio, you can download a community edition for free. VSTS, you can use it up to 5 free users. You can grab that. You can get a 30-day preview of or trial of Xamarin Test Cloud, and you get 2 free apps in Hockey app. So if you haven't, if you looked at this, thought, oh, that looks cool, go ahead and get it. You can get most of this stuff for free until you obviously move beyond the sort of the basic level. But hopefully you found that useful. Thank you very much.